Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares reminds us to look to the future as we parent.
Proverbs 29:17. Discipline your son, and he will give you peace. Isn't that amazing? He'll bring you peace. And he will bring delight to your soul. There's something profound about that. And you will have the satisfaction of seeing children growing up, as Isaiah says, rejecting what is evil and choosing what is good.
If you look at anyone you'd consider successful today, you'll find some commonalities, like a sense of self-discipline and an aptitude for making good and sometimes difficult decisions. As parents, of course, we want to foster these traits in our kids. So today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares describes the importance of administering effective discipline. Are you against spanking your kid? Do you worry about your child's self-esteem? We're tackling some sensitive subjects today in a message called The Unpleasant Task of Correction.
I want to go today to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And its context is how God serves in the role as a father to us as adult Christians. And as a father to us, he disciplines us. He corrects us when we get off the path. But what we find is the analogy is so rich. And it really draws together so much of the wisdom of Proverbs in this passage that it becomes very instructive for us to learn how we're supposed to correct our own children, because that is the analogy in the passage. So we'll go to this text, understanding its original context was how God disciplines and corrects us, but we'll look for what we can learn about parents correcting the little ones, the little human versions that God has entrusted to our care for, as our passage says, just a short while. Now, by the way, maybe before we even embark on reading this passage, we ought to define the word discipline. Discipline is the active word here, and to discipline is simply to enforce negative consequences for sinful decisions. That's what we're talking about. We want to, as parents, do what God does with us, and that is to enforce negative consequences for every sinful decision. And this is how the Bible puts it as it relates to our relationship with God. And look at what we can learn about our relationship with our kids, starting in verse number 5. Don't make light of the Lord's discipline, my son, and don't lose heart when he rebukes you, because, here's the principle, the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. That's a quotation, by the way, of Proverbs 3. Now, when our kids are really young, see, what works the best and what God has already programmed them for is physical pain. That's how God does it. I know, right? Here's where you're going to call your child protective services, but here's the deal. God's already doing it from day one. You understand that, right? You know why babies don't stick their fingers in their eye after the first or second time. Why? Hurts. Ow. What's that all about? God says, listen, the cornea of your eye should not be touched by your fingernail. Therefore, I'll put a lot of sensitive nerve endings there. When you stick your little chubby finger in your eye, you're going to go, ow! Because when you do it, it's bad for you. And if it's bad for you, I'm going to provide pain. And that pain will train you not to do it. Amazing how they understand that. As little tiny babies, they get it. They get it. How come? Because God has built in, here comes, biological parameters in their lives, that when they cross those boundaries, when they transgress them to be biologically damaging to them, God says, pain, don't do it again. You know what your job is? To provide moral parameters for their lives. And those moral parameters need to, at the beginning of their lives, from the beginning, provide a painful association to breaking sinful parameters. Moral parameters. When they rebel against something that is clearly and obviously there for them as right. When they want to throw a tantrum, when they want to squirm off the changing table for the 20th time, right? All it takes is a little enforcement of a negative consequence. In this case, when they're young, some pain, they get it. They get it. Well, I don't think God would want us to inflict physical pain to our kids. And this is where I've already gotten the people already. Oh, that's wrong. Take it to Proverbs 29. Just another example. We've already looked at this, but let's understand the method, the biblical description, and maybe clarify some misunderstandings and let you know that this really, it's really not an option for us. It is God's sanctioned and commissioned method for correcting the youngest children. The Bible says things like this, verse 15, Proverbs 29, 15, the rod of correction imparts wisdom. How would they know not to do those things? How would they be wise not to choose to do those bad things? Well, it's the rod of correction. Now, when I see the word rod, I know immediately, wow, that doesn't sound right. Because what you think of may be what I think of when I say the word rod, which is like a rusting piece of iron rebar. I'm thinking, wow, the rod of that? Seems a little over the top. Here's the Hebrew word. It's the word shebet, shebet. It is used, for instance, in biblical texts with people counting sheep. You know all those parables about you got 100 sheep, 99, one's lost? How would you know? You count them with the stick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's the stick. That would be a better translation. It's a little stick. I say there's four uses. One is, right, to impart physical pain to the youngest children, to associate painful consequences to sinful decisions. The other one is the shepherd's stick. The other one is what's used in the kitchen, and it's not used but once or twice in the Hebrew Old Testament, of a mom's utensil in the kitchen. It's specifically, I believe it's in Isaiah, used as she prepares spices, cumin in that context, that she takes it. You've seen it like the little, you know, little stone, you know, cupped out little bowls, and you take a stick and you use that stick to kind of break up the cumin there. It's a stick. It's kind of like mom has a whole jar of those there right by the stove, right? The little, we call them wooden spoons, right? Which also makes a nice shebet. Perfect size. It's a little stick made of wood. Shebet, shebet. Third one. Well, there's four total. One to impart physical pain, consequences for sinful decisions. Shepherd's rod or stick. The mom's wooden spoon. And the third one is the king, who had a little, what we call a scepter. It's translated scepter. And it's a little, that one's usually gilded with gold and maybe has a couple of rubies on it, depending on the period of, you know, Israel's history. But he would sit on his throne and he would have a shebet in his hand. And it's even spoken of when the fool came before the king would strike him with a shebet, which would probably hurt a lot more than the wooden spoon or the stir stick from the paint store, because it was usually gilded, right? But it was a stick. And the concept was, as is often the case, the son of the shepherd would probably be applied the shebet, as I often say, to the buttocks several times because dad had the shebet. And then mom in the kitchen, of course, has to utilize the shebet, and the king would utilize the shebet for the fools in his kingdom. But the point is not the retributive slugging of a kid with an iron rod, but the picture of a loving father or a loving mother imparting correction by applying physical pain to the youngest kids to help them associate sinful decisions with bad consequences. It's not anger laden. By the way, the second sermon I put in the back box that I preached before, if you have a problem with it, especially dads, I'm calling dads to step up, and dads, if you have an anger problem, this is not the place to spill your anger. As a matter of fact, the problem with angry parents I often find is they have no shebet philosophy. And because of that, all they can do is get red in the face, yell and scream at their kids. You know what I'm calling for is more action, less anger, right? More consequence, less emotion. You don't have to get all red in the face and yell at your children. It's not necessary. You see, God has given you a method to employ to help with your youngest kids understand the consequences of sin by applying the shebet, right? I mean, ask any cop, right? I mean, think about that. We are dealing with, in law enforcement, the kids that never learned boundaries because they never had painful consequences associated with sinful decisions. It's like the quote, did I quote last week about the high-scoring self-esteem test? Who has the highest self-esteem in the country? It's not the gate kids at your local junior high. I know they have a high self-esteem, but it's not them. It's the convicted felons in the correctional system. And it's the same thing, too, with kids that aren't spanked. Oh, they'll be much better. It'll breed violence if you spank your child. You know, it's so funny. It's just exactly the opposite. You understand that, right? Because the parents who sit around and tell me I'm so evil to spank my children, their kids come play with my kids and yank them down and beat them in my family room mercilessly. And I'm thinking, wow, my kids have never done that in their entire childhood. Never. I don't understand. You're supposed to be producing the Greenpeace pacifist, no violent person, right? And my kids are supposed to be wanting to cut everybody's heads off. It's funny how my kids never do what your kids do. I wonder why that is. Maybe because spanking doesn't breed violence. It curtails violence. See? And if you picture, well, spanking, it's just dad wailing on his kid. That's not it. That's called beating someone up, and it's illegal. Right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about lovingly, purposefully, to encourage and provide boundaries for the sake of restraining evil, applying negative consequences for sinful decisions. And with the youngest kid, physical pain is what helps, and it ought to be done carefully. I would say with some chibet of your own that is just set apart for that purpose, and it is done lovingly and caringly, and always with a follow-up. Always we've done that with our kids. Let's sit down and follow up with what's going on as to why that just happened. The rebuke and the rod of correction, the shebet. Back at our passage, just take a look at it again. I know I pointed this out, but look again at verse number 11. No discipline seems pleasant. And the way that's constructed there in the original text is it's not joyful. And that's a great strategy because it's a removal of some joy in their life. Now here's the thing, I know that my kid, I mean especially my oldest kids, they could lean over, take their spanking and get on it and go, great, I'm glad that's over. I mean, they may shed a tear or whatever, but it's nothing compared to the joy I could remove by doing other things now for a 12-year-old, right? Because there's other things that would certainly be a much more effective enforcement of negative consequences for sinful behavior. And we got to get wise. We got to transfer our strategies as they get older. And that's important for us to recognize. Because there are things my kid desperately wants to do, and if he's not allowed to do them, if dad now has to remove that privilege or remove that thing that brings joy to his life, and there's so many things apparently that bring joy to a kid's life these days, just start taking them away. And these are consequences, a rebuke and a removal of joy, something that produces hardship for you that makes the connection that sinful decisions bring painful consequences. And I know a lot of you are going to blow me off in this sermon. Guys, I don't know what's wrong with that guy. Here's the deal. You want to go easy on your kids? God won't, and the world won't. You got to understand that. And as an employer, I've hired hundreds of people in the last 20 years of my life, my adult life, and I'm telling you what, kids that don't learn discipline from their parents and they don't have the enforcement of painful consequences for bad decisions are the worst employees out there. They're the worst to work with. Why? Because they don't have the boundaries of knowing what is right and wrong. And if they do, they think, well, it really won't matter. Do you understand that your kid's future boss is not going to have the same kind of, well, let's go easy on him as you do? I want to get my kid prepared for the world, not to mention God's shebet, which is much more painful than mine. Isn't that the point? I want to mitigate my kid's future pain. I know, as I often say, you may not believe in spanking, but God does, and so does the world in many ways, right? Poetically, they do. And it's time for me in my home to teach my kids the consequences of sin. Don't go soft on your kids. You need to be a disciplinarian. You need to recognize your role. And by the way, if you start early enough, your kids will learn those consequences early on, and you'll have to do a whole lot less of it the older they get. Let's be slow to medicate, slow to do all these other things, and quick to apply God's method of correction. Let's end on a positive note, because we need one at this point. Verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Lupe, it's grievous, it hurts. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who are trained by it. Now that word righteousness is important, because he's already brought that topic up in verse number 10. Fathers discipline us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. God inflicts painful consequences to us so that we can be holy. And guess what? Holiness pleases him. Just like he wants us to be righteous, and righteousness pleases him. Letter A, as we anticipate the fruit of biblical correction, you need to recognize that the result pleases God. The result pleases God. If you take the contemporary of a kid who has been diligently disciplined as a child, and you compare him to the kid that has not, and you watch the fruit of the life that has not and the fruit of the life that does, the fruit of the life that does not will produce a lot more evil in his life than the fruit of the life that does and has been disciplined. And the point is that evil is something that God hates, and it's something that must be dealt with in the economy of God. You do understand that every sinful action needs a just recompense. Every sinful act. Your kids' defiance of your authority, every instance of that requires payment in the cosmos of a holy and just God. Think that one through. Well, they're going to become Christians and then it won't matter because it'll all be forgiven. Does God forgive by snapping his fingers and pretending it didn't happen? Is that how God forgives? How does God forgive? He lays our sins on his son. Do you understand that every sinful act has to be recompensed? Every sinful act. It's either paid for individually in the lake of fire or it has to be paid for in the cross of Jesus Christ. Either way, I want to mitigate evil in this world and I want God to be pleased because he's pleased when people choose to reject evil and choose good. God is pleased. That's good. Back to verse 11 though. It says, a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Letter B, it pleases your kids. The result pleases. It doesn't please your kids when they're doing it, right? But it pleases them later. And how many, if I opened up the microphone right now, could come up on this stage and testify to the fact that we are thankful that our parents disciplined us? I know some of you didn't have parents that disciplined you. But for those of us that did, we avoided a lot of problems in life, did we not? Because of the discipline where God had trained us through our parents to associate painful consequences with sinful decisions. Do you think that changes the reality of our lives? Aren't you now looking back on that as the text says, look at verse number 9, we respect them for that because we know that made our lives better. My dad had his own Chevette. It was a purple plexiglass paddle, right? And have however many, you know, Chevette numbers that we had, you know, meted out for whatever infraction I had. And I had a lot of that when I was little. And the older I get, I had to have a whole lot less of that. And you know what I avoided in my life? And I'm not here to boast on my resume because I was still a rotten sinner headed to hell. But the understanding of the Chevette's fruit in my life is I avoided a lot of the things that a lot of my contemporaries didn't, who never had the discipline in their lives. Think about that, right? Wasn't smoking behind the bleachers at the high school game. Wasn't having sex with my girlfriend and getting her pregnant. I wasn't out getting drunk. And I hung out with flunky musicians snorting lines of coke before the concerts. And you know what? Never touched the stuff. Why? And I am super glad I'm not carrying around some of that baggage. I had my own sins. Obviously a sinner. But the point is, a lot of the sins that carry a lot of negative consequences and baggage, I avoided. Why? Because Dad was diligent to put the purple plexiglass paddle to my rear end and got spanked for it consistently. I'm really glad that that happened. And you know, I think your kids will thank you. They're not going to thank you when they're going, I hate this, you know. Love. They'll thank you when they grow up because they'll recognize Proverbs 6:23, the corrections of discipline are the way of life. That's such a good statement. The corrections of discipline, it's the way of life. It's the way of life. Lastly, the results are going to please you. The results will please you. I know it's hard to do, but when you see the fruit, the peaceful fruit of righteousness in your kids' lives, won't that be satisfying for you instead of going to bail them out of juvenile hall? That'd feel better, wouldn't it? Feel better to have people say, it's amazing, your kids are well-behaved, very respectful. That feels a whole lot better than, man, your kids are a mess. I think that you and I ought to recognize the amazing benefit of being consistent in discipline. Though it's hard, the fruit is worth it. Let me prove it to you real quick. Last place I'll turn you to, Proverbs. Remember these promises. Proverbs 29:17. Proverbs 29:17. Discipline your son and he will give you peace. Isn't that amazing? What did we learn in Hebrews chapter 12? Well, it brings peace to those who are trained by it. Yeah, not only them, he'll bring you peace. And he will bring delight to your soul. There's something profound about that. God is pleased. Your children will one day thank you and you will have the satisfaction of seeing children growing up, as Isaiah says, rejecting what is evil and choosing what is good. I know it's tough, and I know we as Christians, in a day where the Bible is consistently maligned and people think that we're nuts, we got to get back to saying we don't really care what the world says. we care about is what God says. He's given us the motive and the method to correct our kids. If we do it, God will bear the fruit. We can look forward to it. Let's pray. God, I pray that these words would not fall on deaf ears, that before they dismiss what I've preached on, they'd be absolutely sure that this is not what your will is, that your word somehow has been twisted. But God, if this has been a fair assessment and a fair communication of your word, I pray that we would all, as Isaiah 66 says, would tremble at it. We'd recognize this is your will and we will do it. God, I pray especially for those with young children. They can invest early in this. There's so much less they have to do when they get older. And God, while every principle has its exceptions, we thank you that the principle can be anticipated and the fruit of it can be anticipated, that we will have that experience of recognizing that the difficulty and the unpleasant task of discipline has yielded good and godly fruit. And God, I pray more than anything else that parents wouldn't spend time looking back. The only reason to look back is just to confess our sin and then move forward. And once parents have maybe confessed the lack of this in their lives, I pray that they could just turn this teaching into something that becomes an aid to mentor, help, encourage, and keep young parents accountable. They would take their concern, instead of licking the wounds of their past, that they would see their role as coming alongside of parents and interceding for them in prayer and cheering them on to not only direct their kids in righteousness, but teach them through correction to reject what is evil. But God, ultimately, I pray that we'd be courageous as people to read your word, to care more like Daniel did about pleasing you than he did pleasing his environment or his culture. God, we just like to do what you tell us to do. And in parenting, we know that's tough. But give us the courage, the wherewithal, the perseverance, the fortitude, all that we need to do this with love, compassion, care, concern, but diligence, consistency, and perseverance. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You're listening to Focal Point and a message from Mike Fabares called The Unpleasant Task of Correction. Pastor Mike will be back in a moment with some closing thoughts, so keep listening. Well, discipline is clearly an essential part of parenting, and while that certainly includes correction and consequences, there's also a positive side to discipline. In fact, the root word that discipline comes from is disciple. It's about teaching and training. And if you've been looking for ways to disciple your kids and teach them about the Bible, we've picked out a resource today that'll help you do just that. It's called Beyond Bible Basics, and it's a deep dive that'll equip your junior high or high school student with the tools and confidence to study God's Word for themselves. And if you're a leader in your church's youth group, this is a great study to share with those students as well. We'll send you a copy today to show our thanks when you donate to support this Bible teaching ministry. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also include a copy of Pastor Mike's popular curriculum called Bible Survey for Kids. It's aimed at elementary students, giving them an overview of all 66 books of the Bible, with age-appropriate activities to reinforce each lesson. The most important gift we can give our children is knowledge of the gospel, and these books are a great place to start. Ask for both resources when you give $75 or more by calling 888-320-5885 or by going to focalpointradio.org. Even if you don't have young kids at home right now, your donation to this ministry is one way that you can impact the next generation. As you support Focal Point, you're helping equip young families with solid teaching straight from God's Word. And that'll have an eternal impact. So join the mission. Call 888-320-5885 or go to focalpointradio.org. I'm Dave Drewy. Glad to have you with us. And be sure to listen Wednesday when we'll begin a message about strategic training and direction. Well, now to close out, here's Pastor Mike.
Hi, Pastor Mike here. God's Word promises it'll never return void. So I wonder, how is God's Word moving in your heart right now?
drop us a line. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to be praying for you here. Just go to focalpointradio.org and then be sure to join us again tomorrow right here as we continue to explore the depths of Scripture. We'll see you then.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.